Chronicles, the fourth chapter. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. There are three verses here we'll be reading. We'll read them all in unison, verses 21, 22, and 23. In this brief passage, there are names of some difficulty. If you don't know how to pronounce the name, then you can just read around it. And I'll do my best to pronounce it the way I think that it ought to be pronounced. But the text verse is the 23rd verse, page 460. I don't think I gave that. 460 in your Schofield Bible. And please, may we stand, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word. And let's start together, please, there with verse 21. Ready? The sons of Shelah, the son of Judah, were the father of Lekah, and Laada, the father of Maresha. And the families of the house of them that wrought fine linen of the house of Ashbia, and Jochim, and the men of Chozeba, and Joash, and Seraph, who had the dominion in Moab, and Jeshubai Lehem, and these are ancient things. These were the potters, and those that dwelt among plants and hedges. There they dwelt with the king for his work. And let's pray.
Quite a while now, but I can still remember sitting in the services watching my preacher when I was a boy. And the memories I have of him are many, but the outstanding memory I have of my preacher is looking at his face that always seemed like it had a burden. I remember his tears, and I was thinking a while ago, a long time after I'm gone, I hope our young people now will have a similar memory of their preacher when they grew up, having a burden and a concern. Those thoughts through my mind as I looked a while ago at a young person, remembered when I was a teenager sitting in church, looking up to the pulpit to my preacher. There's a wonderful passage, and you don't have to look at it again because you chopped it to pieces a while ago when you read it. It's amazing how many Polish names there are in the Bible. There was a list of names, rather lengthy list of names, and it's concluded by a little verse that I think is strikingly beautiful. These were the potters, and those that dwelt among plants and hedges. There they dwelt with the king for his work. That's one of those verses that'll preach if you just read it. Just reading it. The potters and those that dwelt among plants and hedges, there they dwelt with the king for his work. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us to delight ourselves in our king and the thrill and joy of being able to please, serve, and labor with and for him. Speak to our hearts in these moments, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Recently, I was in the scriptures panning for gold, and I came across the nugget we just examined briefly a moment ago. We're told of some people who did menial tasks. For example, one of the most lowly vocations in all the land was the vocation of being a potter. The potters were those who were in a lowly occupation. They worked with simple clay. And I got thinking last night, that's what I do. I work with clay. You and I are people made of clay. And I work with clay. These were just making vessels. These were potters. They were not those who sang for the king in the court choir. They were not those that trimmed the candlestick in the holy place. They were not those that replenished the showbread on that holy table. These were not they who took the coals from the altar of brass and placed them in the altar of incense. These were not people that wore long flowing garments and robes. These were not those of political stature. These were people that sat at the potter's wheel and just held a little piece of clay and turned it so the wheel could mold it into something somewhat useful. Hey, these were people, these were mill workers. These were a minimum wage people. Then the Bible talks about the workers in the field. It says, those that dwelt among plants and hedges. These were they who lived in the out-of-way places, planting and hoeing and harvesting, gathering grapes, building the king's highway, and doing other rural labors. Yet, there's something beautiful. These common laborers, these who spent time building the king's highway, and these who sat with the potter's wheel and held a piece of clay to mold it to make a little vase, these, the Bible says, were aware, in spite of the menial task, comparatively speaking, that was theirs, they were aware that they were working for the king. And that made holy and royal every little task. The fellow who was the potter was made aware that he was making a vase for the king. And the fellow who was working on the king's highway, as he did so, he thought, I'm preparing a way for the king. And the fellow who worked in the field was preparing a menu for the king. This thought turned their plows into chariots, their hoes into scepters, their perspiration into crowns, their potter's wheels into thrones, and their work clothes into royal robes. Can you listen for a minute now as I imagine what one thought? As he sat at the potter's wheel, insignificant task compared to the big jobs, he would not be the pastor of the church if he were here. He would not be on the deacon board were he here. He would not be on the staff if he were here. His would be a menial task, a common task. But this little fellow, unknown and unseen and unheralded, sat at the wheel as a potter. Can you imagine, he said, this vessel will someday sit on the king's table. And I get to prepare a vessel for the table of the king. Another said, this vase will grace the king's palace. It may hold a rose that'll be in the king's palace. And this is no ordinary vessel. And I'm no ordinary potter. I work for the king. And I walk with the king. And I dwell with the king. For I am in the business of the king. I can hear another saying, this grape will make the king healthier. Another would say, this garden will be the king's menu. And another said, the king's chariot will roll over this highway that I am building. Another said, I am sweeping the king's floor. Another said, how privileged I am, I work for the king. And so God decided to tell the Holy Spirit, just put that in holy writ. These are the potters and those that dwelt among plants and hedges. There they dwell with the king for his work. For 37 years, this has kept me going. I am working for the king. I don't know of anything any better than that, and I mean it. I'd rather sweep the king's palace than to run the wicked man's palace. I'd rather wash and dry the king's dishes than to own the wealth of the riches of the heathen. And so these men said, one man said, I'm just a potter, but I'm making a vase that'll sit on a royal table.
One man said, I'm just a builder on a highway, a construction worker, an hourly wage earner, minimum wage. But someday I'll get to watch the king and his chariot and his caravan roll over this highway that I'm building. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it makes a difference what you do according to for whom you're doing it. And they said, we work for the king and dwell for the king. For these years of preaching, and this is the testimony now, these years of preaching, I have been kept going for the blessed fact that I work for the king. You know, I was thinking last night, I'm not a great preacher. I'm not a great orator. I'm not really a great, deep theologian. And it's been my lot to sort of be a jack of all trades through these years. But I want to say this. I am one of God's men. I know that. There are two things I know as much as I know that pulpit is made of wood. One is, I'm saved. My name is written in heaven. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free. In my heart's a song. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm saved. If I did not know that I 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 know, I'm saved. I'd jump up during invitation time and say, folks, I know I'm pastor of this church, but I don't know I'm saved, and I'm not going to take one chance. You couldn't pay me to walk out that door this morning. Not enough money in the world to get me 1 minute doubting the fact that I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Number two, I know I'm not a great preacher, and I'm not the best man here, but I know this. I know that I'm God's man. I know that. I know that. I represent him. And I've been motivated all these long years of preaching, 37 years of pastoring, and been a licensed preacher now, almost 39 years. And I've been motivated all these years for the blessed truth that what I do, I work for the king. I walk with the king, hallelujah. I walk with the king, praise his name. No longer I roam, my soul faces home. I walk and I talk with the king. I stood one night... years ago, to preach the smallest crowd which I ever preached in a church. Seven people, one morning. Seven people, that's all. But before I walked in that pulpit, I said to myself, I, this morning, am doing the king's business. I'm preaching the king's message. I'm preaching the king's word. The seven people, okay. But I am representing the king of glory to those seven people. I am a stranger here, wrote the poet, within a foreign land. My home is far away upon a golden strand. Ambassadors to be of realms beyond the sea. I'm here on business for my king. This is the message that I bring, a message angels fain would sing. Oh, be reconciled, thus saith my God and king. Oh, be ye reconciled to God. Oh, let me tell you something. Nursery worker, those aren't little babies you hold in your hands this morning. Those are princes and princesses you hold in your arms today. Oh, listen, custodian, you clean the king's building here at the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Oh, listen, college cooks, your kitchen becomes a palace when you cook for God's business and God's people. Oh, listen, Sunday school teacher, you're the king's messengers. Oh, listen, secretary, those are royal parchments on which you type. Oh, listen, table servers, you work in the king's dining hall. Oh, listen, lonely missionary, you're the king's ambassador. Oh, listen, a rural pastor, that's the king's message you're preaching. Oh, let me tell you, nothing will do any more for you than to stop to realize that little job you have that doesn't seem important. You don't stand behind the pulpit and preach. Your name is not on the stationery. You haven't written any books. You haven't preached any campaigns. Your name is not known across the country. But you have a little job to do. Let me serve notice to you. That job is important not because of the job, but because it's the king's job. It's the king's business. I was driving up here one night several months ago from coming down Sibley Street, and I looked inside, the light was on in the vestibule back there. And Stan Wojcik, who's the man who keeps this building clean and who is a dedicated worker to his job. Stan Wojcik was back there polishing the doors, the glass doors. And I pulled over beside the road diagonally across the street, called it catty-cornered where I came from. I pulled up catty-cornered across the road and just sat there. And I watched Stan Wojcik as he polished the glass on those doors. And I watched him carefully. He had that rag and he's polishing. He'd get back, he'd look at it just exactly right and get the light on it. And he'd see a little speck and it'd do like that little bit. And he'd get back and look. And brother, he manicured those doors. I'll tell you, that glass was like a mirror. and all of a sudden it dawned on me, I'm watching royalty. I'm watching royalty. I'm watching a man who is polishing a door for Jesus. That's the king's door back there. And I watched him as he did it, and I watched like a man would enviously watch the trade of another as he plied his trade. And I said, thanks be to God, those people, those potters who stand sit there at the potter's wheel and move their hands and move a little piece of clay as the wheel molds that clay into something useful for the master's hands. I was watching one of God's craftsmen who didn't have a job, but he had a task for the king that he was doing and doing it well. Last night, we had a meeting of the preacher boys here in this room. Boy, wildest bunch of Indians you ever saw in your life. We had men give up chandeliers last night in the church. But we had a preacher boys meeting. And while one fellow was preaching, I saw that door open back there. And I saw a hand slide through that door. It was the hand of one of our ushers. At first, I thought it was Cliff Anglin. It may have been. And then I thought it may have been Dick Barr. And it may have been. And I saw another open back here. And I thought that was Larry Stromberg. And I'm not sure who they were. But I saw a man slide on this chair back here, an offering plate. And then I saw this door open about that far. And a hand sift an offering plate on this chair back there. And then I began to look and I saw the doors open. And somebody was down here last night. Nobody knew he was down here. I wouldn't know if... Folks, this is 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Saturday night. There's a Notre Dame-Miami ball game on television at home. I mean, he had a family at home. And yet, there he was. And I noticed the door open again. And a fella had a little package of visitor's cards. And he slid those visitor's cards in that collection plate. And this door opened. And somebody slid some visitor's cards in the collection plate. And I stood and watched as it happened. And tears moistened my eyes and my heart was warmed as I said, nobody knows they're doing that. Nobody stood up and said, ladies and gentlemen, we have Dr. Stromberg here. Mustachio Dr. Stromberg here. And Dr. Stromberg has passed visitor's cards out all over this auditorium. How we thank God for the outstanding visitor's card passer outer in America this morning. And we introduce to you now the great, renowned Dr. Stromberg. Nobody does that. These are the potters. But they're potters for the king. And that door opened, those collection plates. I did not know when I just know they're back there. I didn't know when. I just know they're back there. But thanks be to God that God has little jobs and little tasks that are made monumental jobs and monumental tasks because they're done for the King of Kings. I was the other day, early one morning, I was at work here. I kind of work early as I can. I think it was 10:45. Early one morning, I came to work, and I saw the little deaf lady that cleans the restaurant. I forgot her name all of a sudden. Louder. Virginia Rush. Deaf lady. All she does is clean toilets. How'd you like to spend your life in a commode? All she does, clean commodes and laboratories and clean the restroom grounds. All she does. And I watched her.
She didn't know I was watching her. I just watched her as she was doing her chores and getting ready to do her chores for the day. And I said to myself, this is an honor. That lady is not a toilet cleaner. That lady works for the king. She works for the king. I could change your Sunday school class if I'd get you to realize that that's the king's business you're doing. I could change your teaching in your Christian school classroom if I could get you to realize that's the king's business you're doing. Oh, let me tell you something, lady. Now, I'm not trying to get you today just to work. I'm trying to get you to realize that the little potter who held a piece of clay and the wheel would grind it into something useful for the king. Let me tell you, that's big league. You're working for the king. Well, the night I left here about 11:15. That's not unusual. About 11:15. As I backed out, I noticed the light was still on in Randy Erickson's office. Still on. In Randy Erickson's office. That man has taken a little job and made it the biggest, one of the biggest jobs in this church. That man has been willing to be an humble servant and do things unnoticed except by God himself and his pastor. But you know why? He works for the king. Oh, listen, those aren't ordinary typewriters you type secretaries. They're the king's typewriters. This is not ordinary carpet. This is the king's carpet. These aren't ordinary seats. These are the king. Hey, I work for the king. And for these wonderful, marvelous years, it's been my joy to be conscious of it. And I believe this. I believe if I could point to one reason that God has chosen in some small way to bless this little preacher, I believe one great reason is he is always conscious that he's in the king's business. In my first little full-time church, I was awed by everything I did. I prepared the Lord's Supper. I didn't know you could buy this stuff at bookstores, Christian bookstores. I thought you had to cook it yourself. And I got some flour and spread it out across the stove and cooked the stuff. We had burned Lord's Supper because Jesus suffered our hell. I guess that's what it symbolized. But we had burned Lord's Supper. I prepared it. But you know, as I took that flour and put that flour in my hands, it dawned on me, this is the king's business I'm doing. I went down to the grocery store, Varner's grocery store, little neighborhood store, and I said, Mr. Varner, I want some grape juice. He said, we have Welch's and Church's. Which do you want? I said, Church's, of course. I got some Church's and grape juice. I didn't know he had things you could put down in the bottle and push a little deal and fill one of those little glasses up. I took that big old bottle of Church's grape juice and aimed at those little things we serve at the Lord's Supper. But as I held that bottle in my hands, I'm not kidding you, my hand trembled because I realized this was a king's errand I was running. I used to fill the baptistry in that little church. I used to clean the baptistry. Remember, we didn't have any water at first. We built it. Didn't have any water. We were outside city water area. First Sunday morning, I was baptized in a baptistry, baptized in cold water. I called the fire department. They came out with a fire truck and filled our baptistry with cold water. I baptized one lady who weighed 235 and her daughter weighed 285. First folks ever baptized in a baptistry. They baptized me and I baptized them in cold water. But I'm saying that after it's all over, I drained that baptistry and I watched the sins as they drained out. But I got up there and I cleaned that baptistry myself. And all of a sudden, a strange thing hit me. This is the king's place. This is the king's business. And I was aware as a young preacher. And listen, there's nothing. I don't care all the homiletics you take or all the hermeneutics you take or apologetics or the Petrian theology, the Pauline epistle. I don't care how much you take. Nothing will take the place of God's man realizing
This is God's business I'm doing. And nothing will take the place of God's people who have little jobs of taking care of a nursery or working in the beginner department, realizing this is God's business. I was the custodian. I cleaned the toilets. I turned on the lights. I typed the letters. I printed the church bulletin. And during the week, I got a lawnmower. Bought a lawnmower for about $9.95, and I walked up and down the street knocking on doors asking if I could mow people's yards so I could make ends meet. I was a pastor of the church and mowing the yards of some of my members so I could make ends meet and pay the bills and keep some food on the table. But for these many wonderful blessed years, I've had the awareness that every task that I perform is for the King. That isn't all. I not only work for the King, but I live with the King. Did you hear what it said? These were the potters and those that dwell among plants and hedges. There they dwell with the King for His work. You say, how can I dwell with the King? You find where He wants you to work, go there and work, and the King will meet you there. It said that Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. What did that mean? Fled from where God used him to do His work. And so they dwell with the King for all these years. I've had the joy of walking with Him. I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me. I have I don't deserve anybody's sympathy. I only deserve your envy because of God's goodness and God's blessings to me. 17 years ago last night at 12:45, 15 minutes before I was 40 years of age, I knelt in my basement beside our son David, and I gave myself to do what I could to try to save this country. And I made a holy vow to God that I'd go day and night, because for some reason God has given me the ear of fundamental preachers across this country. I know there are 10,000 preachers that call me their pastor. I know that. I've got 15 calls now on my desk I've got to call before I go to bed tonight, of preachers that need somebody to pastor them. It's that way every week of my life. And I'm saying that 17 years ago last night, I heard Dave Hiles pray, "Dear God, tonight I give you my dad." And though he didn't have to give his dad up, I gave myself 17 years ago last night to do what I could to go by day and go by night, to do what I could to grab the preachers of this country and the fundamental believers and say, "In God's name, we've got to save the ship or she's going to go down." And I've been aware for these years that in a special, peculiar way, I've been God's man. Could an old man be vain for just a moment? Would you not think me boasting if I praise God just for a moment? I've flown many a mile on airplanes, over 4 million miles on airplanes. I've gone to bed more nights in a motel room than anywhere else. But I dare you. I dare you to search a place in this country, any neighborhood in this country, that hasn't been influenced just a little bit by this ministry here. You say, what's the secret to it? I'll tell you what it is. I am a stranger here within a foreign land. My home is far away. Upon a golden strand, ambassadors to be of realm beyond the sea, I'm here on business for my King. This is the message that I bring, a message angels fain would sing. Oh, be ye reconciled, thus saith my God and King. Oh, be ye reconciled to God. And for these years, I know I've burned the candle at both ends. I know that. And I know that however many years I would have lived, I will not live that many years. I'm fully aware of that. The other day I was listening to a sports cast, and the sports announcer said, team played on Monday night, had to fly back to a different time zone. Everybody knows it takes 48 hours, he said, for bodies to get adjusted from a new time zone. I don't know if that's true, but I've gone from time zone to time zone, just like you go from your kitchen to your living room for all these years. I know I'm burning the candle at both ends. I know that. I was aware of it 17 years ago. I'm aware of it now. I've done it purposely. I've done it because I knew somebody has got to grab the preacher of this country and shake them and say, in God's name, let's get back to preaching the book as it is to men as they are. And let's save the country. In God's name, let's do it. But I've been aware, and I am today, that though I'm the poorest of the preachers, and I'm the simplest of the theologians, I've been aware all these years that I'm working for the King. I've got some good news for you Christians today. There's still some job openings in the potter's wheels. I got some good news. There's still some job openings down in the hedges. I got some good news. There's still some job openings down in the plants and the vineyards. And the out-of-the-way places, as men count pay, not too great. As men count fame, none. But it's for the King. It's for the King. I've got some good news for you unsaved folks, too. The King is looking for you today. The King wants you. The King wants you. The King of glory. The Creator of the universe. The way, the truth, the life, the resurrection, the light of the world, the bread of life. The one who said before Abraham was, I am. The King, the Creator, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He's looking for you. He wants you to belong to Him. I don't know anything any more wonderful than that. I belong to the King. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. I belong to the King. That isn't all. I work for the King. I work for the King. That isn't all. I live with the King. Ever get lonesome, Brother Hiles, in motel rooms? Never by myself. Ever get lonely traveling on through the skies in the nighttime? Don't know. I never have traveled alone yet. I walk with the King. Hallelujah. I walk with the King. Praise His name. No longer I roam, my soul faces home. I walk and I talk with the King. What's your job today? Is it teaching five little girls in a Sunday school class on Sunday morning? What's your job today? Is it polishing the doors, the auditorium? What's your job today? Is it waiting on tables at the college? What is your job today? Is it opening the door and putting a collection plate and then some visitor's cards in the plate? What is your job today? Is it cleaning the restrooms here at First Baptist Church? What is your job today? Is it singing in the choir? Then you sing for the King. Is it leading the choir? Then you lead for the King. Is it playing the instruments? Those are the King's instruments. The King. The King. What difference does it make whether anybody else notices if he notices? What difference does it make if anybody else praises, if he praises? But he who notices every sparrow that falls determines when he falls, how he falls, and where he falls. And he who numbers the hair, every hair on every scalp, and he who takes the lily of the field, the little wild flower of the east, and gives it its beautiful garments to wear, he taketh note of every deed done in His name. A potter? Yeah. Farmer? Yeah. Construction worker? Yeah. But it's the King's business. And this morning, that King stands with scarred hands and says, I want you for mine. What an honor is yours. What an honor you have to be subpoenaed by the King. Having my study, a little frame
It's not on the wall, but it's framed somewhere. It's a telegram from the White House asking me to come and be the president's guest for 6 hours and 15 minutes. And I went, and I ate, and I talked, and I heard. And I have it on my, have it framed somewhere in my study. But I hold far more precious what I hold in my hand today, an invitation from the King of Glory to come to Him, to have Him, belong to Him, to work for Him, and to walk with Him. Father, bless the man.